One, two, three, clap check. Awesome. It's been a year, guys. It's been a year.
Happy New
Welcome.
Year.
Happy New Year to the Wallbreakers podcast. This is Jordan the Chemist here.
This is Give the Horn. How's everyone doing this fine Saturday morning? I was going to say night. I work later tonight.
Ah, that's funny.
My water pipe broke in my house, burst in my house.
I thought you were going to say my water broke, and I'm like, Sam.
I mean, I may be pregnant. I don't know.
On the baby daddy.
I know. Yeah. We've been going at it hard.
When you said that your water pipe broke, my first thought is
water.
Like, water pipe.
Not wind pipe.
I said wind. Well, water.
I heard wind pipe.
I heard water.
Dude, there's water pipe, wind pipe, earth pipe, and fire pipe.
The four Ella pipes.
Combine all four pipe elements and you get an explosion.
You get the Ava pipe.
A joint.
So do you want to?
You get a joint.
So want to discuss in detail what happened?
In the recap.
We're
introducing ourselves.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Right. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
This is Steel Sam.
What's up? Stefan Skins.
And I'm flamboyant. I can float. Because I'm flamboyant.
Come on, John.
I apologize for my colleague.
I'm the flute man.
There you go.
I apologize for my colleague.
Anyways, now, weekly recap. I'll go. Why not? Nothing happened besides Omicron. And I mean, New Year's was all right. Christmas was all right. That's it. Nothing else.
I mean, I had a good Christmas. I got to see my nieces and my nephew. I made them gifts. I also made gifts for other people that you know. I made a chair, I made a plaque, and I made some necklaces. So I put my woodworking skill to good use. I'm basically Santa Claus. If Santa Claus was younger but still fat.
Is that what they call it now?
Yeah.
You know who you remind me of just now?
I was Sam's baby daddy?
No, I was just looking at it. Weekly recap for me, Cobra Kai season 4.
Oh,
The Witcher
watched
season
it.
2.
Yes.
They're just barely starting the book of
Boba
Jango. Boba?
Boba.
Boba T.
Boba.
I like Jango better than Boba, but Boba is
same.
Pretty
book of Boba T.
Pretty cool. And have you seen the second episode?
Yeah.
Not yet.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
It makes the first episode better.
Yeah, exactly.
But I've actually been watching more movies, like the movies of older times before 9/11. And I gotta tell you, it's
the shit we got away with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and then just last night I watched the Ninja Turtles 3. It also did not age well.
You mean terrible.
You mean the one where they actually had like the actual suits?
Sorry,
yeah, where they actually had the suits.
I'm sorry, I'm just blown away because like you just pinpointed when cancel culture started. I'm just blown away right now.
So
I heard nothing at all what you said after that.
I mean,
I thought about it. I was like, holy shit. That's when shit went downhill for us.
So it was because of 9/11.
I think that's when it started. That's what it started.
So I would say it was not cancel culture, but like it's
political,
like
correctness.
No. So you see, cancel culture, its granddaddy is censorship. Then it had its the father known as political correctness. And now we have the grandchild, cancel culture.
But would you say the precursor was Auschwitz?
No. Because things were not censored back then.
Oh.
Stop trying to be funny.
I'm legitimately, I wasn't trying to be funny. I was being serious.
No, but do any of you remember
I remember Auschwitz, yeah.
South Park? There was this one episode where they say like shit a lot of times and it was supposed to be like a big event on TV because that was like the very first time supposedly that they were able to cuss on TV.
I don't remember experiencing that.
I watched it. I couldn't get through the whole thing, but they were counting how many times they said shit. And I got to like 47. I'm like,
can you do that hand motion again? You're like, why are you doing the Sig Heil, dude?
I'm watching the horizon.
I am watching the horizon as the sun rises.
You do it better than I do.
The eagle flies over and it calls to me. And I say, oh, I will not go into the spirit world.
And he says 350.
He says 350.
So I asked the guy.
But yeah, no, I'm just watching George more w. movies, taking more walks. Health-wise, I'm
sounds like a walk in the park.
It's not.
It's a walk in your neighborhood.
Yeah, it's... Oh, I coughed.
Yeah.
I also started smoking. No, I'm just kidding.
I was gonna... I would have kicked your ass if you started.
Smoking meat, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Dude, I want to learn how to smoke meat and then specialize in llama meat.
But, yeah, no, just movies... started doing some hobbies and just having good times with people. That's about it. That's my weekly recap, to be honest.
Gay.
Okay.
It's as gay as friendship.
Okay.
Squeeze, squeeze.
Just can I
fucking move on?
Yeah. Okay. Do it. This past year was a whirlwind. Witcher season 2, badass. Cobra Kai season 4.
That all happened just recently. Oh,
was
I'm sorry. Mr. Fu Man over here just reminds me of the way his hair is Terry Silver from Cobra Kai.
You're a bastard, Terry.
Wait, he's in season 4?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was already teased.
Oh, he was in the last episode of the third season, right?
No. But it was teased in the last episode of season 3, and then it was teased in the trailers.
I didn't see the trailer. Wait, where in season 2 was it teased?
Season 3.
Yeah. Well, at the very
end of the episode.
What was the scene?
Move in.
We should all watch Karate Kid 1, 2, and 3.
I'll tell you later. Because I've already seen it.
3, it looks.
I don't care about Karate Kid or Cobra Kai.
It looks like he's gone through hell.
But I want Spider-Man! We should continue.
Exactly.
Dude, that echoed, and I'm like, holy shit, he's serious.
But anyway, Witcher Season 2, so good. It's so good in a different way than Season 1 was.
Probably improved jiggle physics.
But, and as Guy of the Horn said, you know, Boba Fett started. First episode is, but then the very last few minutes of Episode 2 is where you really start to get hooked, and I'm like, okay, I see you. But other than that, and other than my the water pipe in my house, well, one of them bursting, and having to clean busted up that mess. Basically, my house busted a nut. Yeah, that's how my week started.
That shit on the ground.
Stefan?
Nothing noteworthy, really.
Senior Skins?
Oh, that reminds me of the Christmas party. Mm. Absinthe. Oh, yeah.
Never mind. They went to the spirit world.
So
I did it.
We had a bit of a Christmas party the past couple weeks, and I tried something called absinthe for the first time. And would you like to explain what that is?
His mind was absent.
Let me tell you something. I know one of us doesn't partake in alcohol, but absinthe is not alcohol. Holy shit.
Is it actually not alcohol?
Yeah, it's not alcohol.
Isn't this like a psychedelic?
It has alcohol in it, but...
It's a hallucinogen.
I still wouldn't partake in that then.
It's a hallucinogenic alcohol.
Think of it as like ayahuasca, dude. Fucking... Oh my God.
Well, here's
nasty
the thing.
Taste.
Here's the thing. You guys have to take absinthe to go to the dream world. I went to Arizona. That's pretty much a dream world in itself.
Did you partake in some peyote or something?
I just went to Arizona.
He just sweat a lot.
No, it was cold.
In any case, I just remembered one piece of good news. And I never thought I'd say this just because of how much I love it. But Guinness has released a alcohol-free version of its draft, which I desperately needed.
Have you tried it?
I haven't. I'm looking for it right now.
Non-alcoholic.
The point is that you can have the taste and not have to risk your heart stopping if you're on heart medication.
See, this is why you're on heart medication.
I'll fucking kill you. I will shove my down. Fist up your ass and move your mouth like a puppet.
Sam.
See, this is why you take pills and get hemorrhoids, dude.
Sam.
You need to calm down.
I'll kill you.
Stop drinking that soda. And and just fucking relax, dude.
Sam. My blood is cactus cooler. And fucking frosting.
Sam.
Frosting? You ate like a bowl of frosting.
Exactly.
For sustenance.
I swear to God, my blood's like BBQ sauce right now.
Hey, Sam. Relax. I'll fucking kill you. No, you won't.
You do it. But anyways.
Well, you weren't going to do it, so I had to do it through you.
So we found out how different absinthe is.
Oh. Holy shit.
I was fine.
Do it with me, John.
I was fine for the most part. Like, the thing is, I took, like, what, 4 shots, and I finished a cocktail.
Oh, my God.
As well.
So much pain. The fact that you don't feel it.
Well, like, the thing is, I had to wake up for work the next day, so.
So, how was the spirit world?
He didn't go to it.
No, I'm talking to you, stupid.
I didn't go to it either.
Wait, who went?
Funny thing,
I was halfway. I went to the spirit world.
You should have been there. We all took double shots of absinthe.
Yeah.
First of all, nasty.
My fault.
It's who's had NyQuil? It's worse than that.
It's everyone grosser than NyQuil.
It's worse than that. It's you've never had NyQuil?
No.
It's because it's got alcohol in it.
It's dumb.
NyQuil does not have alcohol, but it does have meth.
Yeah, it does. It has alcohol.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
No.
Doesn't matter. The point is, I've never had it.
Anyways,
I just never needed it.
So what happened was my brother asked, "Hey, who wants to take a double shot?" And so he said, "Of what?" And he says, "Of anything. Just name something." And I opened my mouth and I said, "Absinthe," just so we could finish the bottle.
Did you end up finishing the bottle?
It's almost done.
Oh my God!
Almost gone.
Almost gone.
Oh my God.
Shitty, you have to go on a spirit journey.
I went to Narnia.
I was expecting to see. I'll be honest, I was expecting to see fairies. Because we took. Because the Grinch drink that I made also had absinthe, but not as much.
Yeah.
But when we took those 2 shots, I swear to God, it was like reverse drunk. My eyesight got better.
There was a guy with glasses, and he said, "Dude, my vision is clearer."
Wait, at the party?
At the party. I'm like, whose eyesight just got better? And the guys who drank it, they all raised their hand except my brother because he doesn't follow the crowd.
I also was, I saw the Lion of Narnia too, and he had the voice of Joe Pesci.
He's like, "Hello, Stefan, how you doing? I'm here to make sure that your destiny's very well followed, okay? You hear me, capiche?"
So I'm like, okay, Laszlo, the Lion.
I laughed so hard when you said, like, who?
No, it's Laszlo.
When
it's
your Aslan. Eyes open wide, you're like, "My eyesight's clear. Whose else's vision is clear?" And, like, the people that took the shots raised their hands. They're like, "Oh, my God."
Jesus.
But it all went downhill from there. Like, one of
almost Jordan's friends got
a little sick. They were like, "Oh, I can't take this taste."
You guys saw dragons?
No, unfortunately not. We didn't go far enough.
That's why I'm saying that Guy has to go on a spirit journey. He has to finish the bottle on his own.
Me, Judd. Hold my hand.
Well, the best part is I don't need to drink it to go. I can already access the spirit world without it. You, however, being a lower life form, need the absinthe. Aho.
Did you just say garlic in Spanish?
It's not aho, it's ajo.
Aho also means idiot in Japanese.
Aho! I thought it was baka.
I'm kidding.
But tell me, guys, how did you feel when you guys went to sleep and woke up?
Amazing.
I woke up and I was like, no. No, not today.
I totally forgot about that. Hell no. I woke up and I'm like, not today. I just went back to sleep. I was, oh my God, I was, ugh.
Not today, Satan. I went to their house to go clean up after the party, and I remember seeing Guillermo just laying down in bed, just like,
I don't wanna.
And his mom had to go in and get him out of bed, and he's just like fighting her. He's just like,
I don't know what you saw, but my body was limp. Like, you were like, I don't want, no, it's just like my soul was gone. I was a husk. I was a mama, husk.
Mama, I can't. Mama, I can't.
Oh, no.
Mama, please.
I felt awful. Like, this wasn't even you. How many of you have been hungover? Was it like that?
Yeah.
Really? No, not for me. I've been hungover. Oh, okay.
I was hungover once.
Fuck
in my life.
That. No, this was different.
Was it what
this
I was thinking?
This was like you were sick and you couldn't throw up.
Oh, I know that feeling.
You're just like,
you're dry heaving, but nothing's coming out. Just
no, not even dry heaving. Like, your body's just like, we know what's happening. You
so
fucked up.
So basically, his brain was in the prison of nausea, but his body couldn't react to it. That was basically what it was. So imagine feeling nauseated, but you can't even dry heave. I'm guessing that's what he's trying
imagine
to describe.
Imagine waking up, but your spirit is still asleep.
Jesus.
Like, your spirit is not there.
I had to work, too, from like 2 to 10.
You're so brave.
After that, I woke up and I was like, okay, drink some water, get some food.
I wanted to forget about it. Forget about it.
Life does not exist in this dojo.
Existence is pain to me, Jerry.
I am the
Meeseeks. You gotta put on task, Jerry!
I am the Meeseeks of my story.
Oh my God.
You have a constitutional right to be a dumbass! Oh my God. This will go there. Anyway, so for today's podcast, awesome thing, like, just to start the new year, we're gonna talk about a movie that has... What happened?
New talks, new format.
Oh, okay.
But don't say the name of the movie just yet.
But what the fuck am I going to do then? What am I supposed to do?
We've got just new say Shrek. We've got new topics, new formats, and we're going to test them out today.
Of course.
What? You don't remember that song?
I
know what it is, but what about it?
Well, see, I don't want to play more than that.
Yeah.
What about it?
It's part of the movie.
Oh, that's right.
I'm sorry. I heard country.
So, honestly, as we all know, basically, music. In the last month of 2021, also called December,
they decided to throw a bunch of shit at us like our professors do on finals week.
Yeah. And then...
It was awesome.
And then our Lord and Savior gifted us with a great parting gift of the shitty year, 2021. Spider-Man, No Way Home.
Woo!
Spider-Man.
That comes out of you?
Yeah. So, we've all seen it. Right? We've all loved it. We've all saw it probably more than once.
I only saw it once.
Oh,
how many times did you see it?
I saw it twice only.
Oh,
yeah.
With him also?
I only need to see it twice, so I need to see it one more time. But
actually, once with our little sister and once with Sam. No, once by ourselves.
We didn't go by ourselves. We took Emily.
But we saw it twice.
Yeah, we went with John and Stefan. And then we went with our little sister.
Nice.
Basically.
Yeah.
But anyway, Spider-Man No Way Home. So let's start with this discussion. We all love the movie. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about what's the good stuff
in the movie. The good stuff. Sam will begin.
Everything.
He's on sabbatical.
Everything was good about this fucking movie. There was nothing wrong with it.
I want
everybody else can kiss Sam. My ass.
I want anyone else but Sam because he's biased.
All right.
So he was bi.
I'm biased with good movies, yeah.
No, you're not.
Yes.
No, you're not.
You said that about Transformers.
Yeah, I did. The first three movies, masterpieces.
First one.
You know what else? You know what
as
else
well as Bumblebee.
You know what else first is a masterpiece?
First one was innovative.
No, you know what else? I will say that. You know what else is a masterpiece? Pick any kindergartner's macaroni picture. That's your standard right there.
No, it's not.
That was Transformers 5. Right.
So that was Transformers
macaroni!
5.
So to continue off from what Sam said, the movie had a lot of things that were really for the fans. Like
the fan service.
The fan service is just
godly.
And a lot of the things they did, they didn't even have to do, but they did it. For example, let's start off with the first one, Matt Murdock.
Or the one who stole the thunder of this movie. The moment that I am more hyped for than any other part of this damn movie, which I am now dubbing Daredevil Season 4 teaser trailer.
Does anyone got duct tape?
Try me, bitch!
I'm tired of hearing you talk.
I'll kill you!
It's already 2022. I'm already
Take
tired.
Off your headphones!
You don't just... Anyway, so say yes, the appearance of Matt Murdock, if you guys seen Daredevil, it was such a treat to see
that.
Oh,
by the way, spoiler alert.
Why? It's like, this movie's like 2.5 weeks old.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying for anyone who still hasn't watched the movie yet, okay. Which if you haven't...
What are you doing with your life?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty much sure that spoilers. Majority of the world has already seen this movie already, so... Okay, anyways, they brought in Matt Murdock, and the way they brought him in was fucking brilliant.
Yeah, no, it wasn't fucking brilliant. It was logical. What they did was give us some fan service there.
Perfection.
Which was great. It wasn't...
It was perfection.
It wasn't smart. Cents. It wasn't anything like that. They were like, you know what? Instead of just having a regular lawyer,
let's have a good lawyer. Mm-hmm. A true. Very good what lawyer.
Was, or the actual was, logical choice for a lawyer for Spider-Man.
What was great was when the brick came in through the window. How'd you do that?
I'm a
very good lawyer.
I'm a really good lawyer.
Oh man, I like the way they introduced him too. They just like they don't show his face, and then you see his cane, and then he sits down. See, that was so cool. Okay,
that was
cool.
Let me describe that part. Actually, I saw the cane, and as soon as I saw the cane, everything else was in slow motion, and the first thing I see isn't actually something I'm seeing; it's what I'm hearing, and I see my body begin to react to his voice, and I'm like. And as soon as I saw his face, I was just screaming at the top of my lungs. And I was so ashamed of my theater. Only like a handful of people screamed at that scene. And I was like, how dare you heathens. You scream for my boy Matt Murdock.
I hope that they're gonna add.
That's how insignificant
so, like,
that scene
question though, like, does that make Daredevil basically canon at this point?
It makes Charlie Cox canon as Daredevil in the MCU. It doesn't necessarily mean that the shows that he was in are canon.
No, because the Marvel shows, the actual Marvel shows with Iron Fist, Luke Cage, Daredevil, those are all supposed to be canon related to the shows.
No.
They canceled it. Because
Kevin Feige Marvel's said that they're not. Dumb. Kevin Feige said that they're not part of the MCU.
Here's the thing:
Shield. It's just like Shield, but Shield. I think
Agents of Shield. You mean?
I think Agents of Shield now is not really part of the MCU because
they were also declared non-canon.
No, it's there's a reason for that though. It's because they couldn't keep up with the movies. The movies came out and they weren't keeping up with the movies.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying that they're now considered non-canon.
But the Marvel shows on Netflix, they're supposed to be canon.
Okay.
Kevin Feige said they're not.
Okay, here's the thing though. Charlie Cox appearing in the movie, right? There aside from that, there's no way you connect the shows with the movie.
Daredevil season
4. So basically
four.
You get you. Can I finish?
Demographics.
Can
Shut
I finish?
Shut the fuck up and let him talk.
What I'm saying is this. You can get away with making them non-canon or making them canon. It's just his mere appearance just says that he is that universe as Daredevil.
Exactly.
So, you know, the shows can, even if they are now canon, they can at any point be considered non-canon at the snap of a finger.
Exactly.
Until there's a Daredevil dedicated thing.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go and move on to the next part.
No.
The moment Dr. Octavius came into screen. Seeing that and what he was like, his dialogue brought me back to 2004.
Hello, Peter.
Well, not just that. Did you guys see how they incorporated most of the original, his original theme from the 2004 movie?
Yeah, yes. I heard it.
Like, obviously, they did a little bit of editing to try to fit it with, you know, the Tom Holland Spider-Man style.
Yeah, of course.
But most of its base music was still the same, and I was like, oh yeah.
I just, yes. when he said, "What'd you do with my machine? The power of the sun in the palm of my hands." I'm just like, oh my god.
Yeah.
No, it took me back.
Man, those are good.
The power of the hand in the palm of my hands.
Stupid. I use the hands to destroy the hands.
I was gonna say use the
But like, they did an incredible job in like reintroducing him into the universe. And
I agree.
Is it just me or did his costume look different?
It looked a little different.
It was a little different. I think that might have been a style choice just due to, I don't know, focus groups or some shit. Mm. But it wasn't that different. That's the only thing. Like, honestly.
It was still a trench coat.
Yeah. Yeah, still a trench coat. And his hairdo was really the only difference.
Yeah.
And that's because he's
old. I think also it has something to do with how it's filmed, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The resolution and everything is different than, like, from...
Well, there's that, but also, like, back then in 2004, there were the actual puppet arms, whereas now it's all CGI, so there was no need to, you know, hide the arms and make them fit with the rest of the costume.
Yeah.
There was no need for it.
Mm-hmm. And then after him, who was introduced, was it Electro?
No, it was
Green Goblin.
It was the Green Goblin. Oh, the Green Goblin.
When I heard that laugh...
Oh my god. You know, like, oddly enough, I would have been fine if they had him keep the mask, but the fact they removed it made it not so only that, much better.
They gave him like the hood and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about his name's Willem Dafoe, right?
William Dafoe. Yeah.
I believe
not him, to be confused with William Dafoe.
I was gonna say that.
I believe him and Jim Carrey are one of the few actors that can really manipulate their face.
Yeah.
Because fuck. Jim Carrey talked about, he used to take hours just to practice making those faces, and then when he made like a really weird face, and it just creeped the fuck out of me.
It's the Grinch face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, just I think that also has a lot to do with the acting as well. I mean, he was probably my favorite villain out of all of them, next to Doc Ock. Mm.
Yeah.
But my favorite scene is probably the fight scene between the first fight scene between the Goblin and Peter.
Mm.
Where
MCU Peter.
Yeah, MCU Peter. Where it's just
Peter 3.
Holy, they...
No, he's Peter 1.
He's Peter 3.
No, that's right.
He's Peter 3.
He's Peter 3.
According to us, he's Peter 3.
He's Peter 3.
But just how much they wrecked shit.
Uh-huh.
It showed just... For me, it showed just how strong the Green Goblin is.
Yeah.
Compared to Spider-Man. I mean, in the old movie, it was...
Compared to Captain America, think about it.
He's stronger than Captain America.
Yeah. Well, Spider-Man is already stronger than Captain America by a lot.
I think the Green Goblin's not as strong as...
No,
he's able to lift tons.
Oh, I thought you were about to say as Captain America. I was about to say, like, no. Like,
no, the Green Goblin is way stronger.
Because even, I don't know if you remember from, oh my god, going to the first movie.
The first, the one that started it all.
Yeah. Do you remember when Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man threw a punch at Green Goblin, he just caught like that. He's like, impressive! Impressive!
Oh, I love how cappy that was.
And then just kicks him away like nothing.
But no, this, that scene, they didn't wreck the room. They wrecked the building.
Oh,
and,
hell yeah.
And it was just a fist fight. They wrecked the building.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was brutal, too.
It was, and the music that they used in that scene was very tribal and very, like you felt the beat.
It was very animalistic. It was primal.
It was great. I'm gonna look for that for that specific theme because it was so great. The fight and everything.
I remember the audience kind of held their breath when Green Goblin tackled MCU Peter, but like didn't even tackle, like picked him up and then slammed him
right through the floor.
Not even on the floor, through the floor.
I saw it. I was like, "My back,
oh, my back." Oh, it was so good. Mm.
But like, I couldn't believe that he did his own stunts.
Yeah,
that was amazing.
And I love that was his requirement for coming back to the role. Was I have to do my own stunts, dude? You're 60 years old, or wait, 60 or 66? I forget which.
I don't remember. But.
He's old enough.
Exactly. He's old enough to where all of his action scenes should be replaced by somebody. And he's like, did I stutter?
I can't see anybody else be a Green Goblin. Like, I kind of compare it to Heath Ledger's Joker.
He's 66.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 66. At 66 years old, he's doing his own stunts.
Like, Heath Ledger's Joker is iconic. I think Willem Dafoe's Goblin is iconic as well.
Oh, yeah, big time.
There's holy shit.
There's the list of perfectly casted characters. He is definitely among them.
Yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's Dr. Freeze. No, I'm kidding. Or Mr. Freeze.
Oh, my God.
Everybody. You know what killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age.
You need to chill.
But okay, so...
Oh, and one more thing to add about Green Goblin. He was the one that raised the stakes in this whole movie.
Oh, I know.
Like, tremendously. Yeah. And a lot of the scenes in which he made an impact, I was actually, like, feeling it right here.
I think it's mostly because, like, that was the first villain. And that was the first villain that, like, fucked Peter up psychologically.
Oh, yeah.
His Peter.
Yeah.
Up psychologically.
Fucked up Tom Holland's Peter.
Oh, yeah. No, if we were to say there was one true villain, it was the Green Goblin.
Yeah. That Green Goblin was the true villain.
But I will say...
Spoiler alert. Peter tries to cure them of their ailments. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, Doc Ock was... The arms were kind of voices in his head. And so he basically redid the chip better that got destroyed in Spider-Man 2. So now he doesn't hear the voices anymore. So now he's more at peace. And he's like, oh, my God, it's quiet. Oh, my God, the voices are gone. And so he tries to cure everyone. And I think in this one, the Green Goblin persona is more prevalent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because what I noticed, and to me, it didn't really make all that much sense, was how deteriorated the Norman persona was as opposed to the Green Goblin. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was, I want to say, it reminded me a little bit of maybe like dementia or something like that.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, so when, I was
like, holy shit.
When Norman Osborn was all like all cowering and all that. Yeah, it seemed like an old man, right? That was suffering from something like that, for sure.
Yes, for some mental illness.
I will say, though, my favorite, and for a lot of people it was Green Goblin, but for a lot of people it was Doc Ock. For me, it was Doc Ock. He was my favorite. He's been my favorite Spider-Man villain ever since he came out in Spider-Man 2.
Mm-hmm.
First, when I was a little kid, it was because of the arms. The arms were dope. Like, I wish I had arms like that. But as I got older and as I learned more about him and read the comics and all that, dude, like that, he's not like a pure evil villain. He's a really complex person.
Oh yeah,
like he's a genius and he's gone through some crap too. So it was really cool seeing him turn good at the end.
Yeah, it is. So
I miss you, old boy.
Let's go ahead and move on to the next villain, Electro,
my brother.
How do you think they handled him?
His design was a lot better. I thought it was... I don't really think they did a whole lot of character development with him.
That's true, they didn't. But he did have some moments in the movie where he was kind of like the main focus.
No, I get that. But like his character just didn't really develop. What I did see that changed between this movie and The Amazing Spider-Man 2 was... he had a lot more confidence and self-assurance in this film than he did in the first
film. My biggest question was, like, how the heck did he go from, like, his appearance in Amazing Spider-Man to, like, the way he is now?
So, it's insinuated that the energy in Tom Holland's universe is different from Andrew Garfield's universe. Mm-hmm. He even said that the energy is just totally...
yeah.
Totally different, and that's probably how he
that's basically how he got his appearance.
Yeah,
like he didn't look like
his body back.
He didn't look like electrified jellyfish human.
Yeah. To be fair, when he first got into that universe, he still kind of looked like that, but then he transitioned to human form.
Yeah, my brother said, it's not that he transitioned to human form, it's just that his body went through a completely different transformation. Now he looked more human. That's just because of the energy that he was sucking up, and he even said that how good it felt too to do so.
In terms of character development, I mean, later on I think it has a lot to do with just how each Spider-Man gets to rectify their mistakes with their villains. You know, have a chance to apologize for whatever happened to them and how things actually turned out. Because that was something later on you find out Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man had a really hard time with after Gwen's death.
Okay.
And I hope, one, they either touch up on that. Because he says, you know, after a while, it was hard to start. To just hold back the punches anymore.
Okay.
Which insinuates that maybe...
he went too far.
Maybe he, you know... exactly, went too far and... is not really... in a good place with the city right now. And then... the other Spider-Man.
Tobey Maguire.
Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man. I was going to say Sam Raimi's Spider-Man.
You wouldn't be wrong.
But I wanted to. Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man had a chance to, you know, reconcile with Flynn Marco, which I thought was pretty cool. He's like, we're going to get you home.
Oh, yeah. And the, like, even though the Lizard and the Sandman weren't really very prevalent, they did, I feel like they did enough to help the plot move forward.
Sandman, yeah. Lizard, not so much.
They were there just like,
to fill in, like, the whole fight scenes, but. What I liked
was that
each villain was not really a villain. You know, the really true, like I said, the true villain in this would be Green Goblin and Dr. Octopus in the very beginning, and the Lizard. But, the other ones were just kind of like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah.
Especially Sandman, when you see him in the beginning.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to attack...
Peter 3.
Yeah, Peter 3. But he was like, hey, what, you know, what's going on? This is a different place. He's like, I'll explain it later. Just help me take this guy out. And so he, you know, he helped him, which was cool. What I didn't like, though, was that they put him in a, in the same jail, in the jail
cell. Stasis pod, yeah.
Yeah, there we go. Which I'm like, that's kind of a
dick move
if he helped him.
I was thinking about that because, like, but also Sandman had no reason to not trust Peter 3.
No.
He didn't, like it was almost like they regressed his character, which is kind of dumb and from a writing standpoint.
The way...
No. Because from what I understood in the movie, he thought that was his Spider-Man. So that's why he was like, what's going on? And before he was able to explain, he just told Sandman, just help me stop this guy. And then I'll explain everything. And so that's why he helped him stop. Because in Spider-Man 3, he wasn't really that much of a villain for Peter anyways. It was just
more of like a common crook.
Yeah. And even in the end, too, He stopped fighting.
Yeah.
After Harry came, he could have fought more, but he just didn't. And then he saw everything that was going on. He's like, you know, I did this all for my daughter and this and that. And I just want to let you know I'm very sorry for what happened.
I was under the impression that Flint Marko is the kind of guy that doesn't really think about his actions. He's just a reactor.
I mean, his head is made of sand.
Well, like, the thing is, too, you got to understand, not even that universe, a lot of people have a concept of magic. So when Peter 3 thwipped Electro, what looked to be out of existence from his eyes.
It straight up looked like disintegration.
Yeah. You can understand why Flint Marko was like, what happened?
What did
you do?
Yeah. I totally get that. So
it's not so much a regression. It's more like he didn't know what happened. He wasn't there anymore.
That's fair.
So to him, like, in his mind, he's like, oh, shit. He's not here anymore. And he's not going to think, oh, he transported him to another place. No, he just knows. He just thinks, oh my God, his existence, it's gone.
He is no longer on this mortal plane.
Yeah. So that's why Sandman reacted the way he did.
Mm-hmm. I guess. He was confused.
That's how I see it. Yeah.
Like, he was confused the entire movie. I don't blame him.
That's fair.
Like, can you imagine just going to another dimension, not knowing where the hell you are and all this shit's happening?
And then you're helping a Spider-Man fight off a bad guy, and then that bad guy no longer exists. In an instant,
and you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
And I think it's safe to say at that moment he was like, wait, you're not my Spider-Man.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I will say,
he was scared
for Electro. I liked everything. I liked Electro, but there's one woke thing he said. I'm like, you didn't have to say that. It was kind of racist.
Let's get there.
We're talking about the villains.
I know, but we're talking about what we liked.
Oh, we liked. Okay, yeah.
What we liked. Yeah, okay. So how about we talk about each individual Spider-Man?
Oh, but I still wanted to talk about Green Goblin and why he was the perfect villain for Peter 3.
Okay.
Go.
Okay. That final fight scene where... At first, the Green Goblin is, you know, kind of on even ground with Peter 3. I forget what it is that sets him off, but Peter just goes ham. Like, he goes ham, like
Spider ham,
like Aang went on those sandbenders, and he just starts kicking ass. But you don't realize how hard he's going until you actually hear the reverberations off of the pieces of the Statue of Liberty, and you're like, oh my God, these are killing blows. The only reason he's not dead is because he's the Green Goblin.
Yeah,
anyone else would be dead. And then you see the other two Spider-Men looking at him like, oh my God, he's actually gonna try to kill him. And it isn't until the very moment where he grabs the glider that we're like, oh my God, he's really going to kill him. Oh, shit.
I was laughing.
I was like, do it.
Yeah.
Do
that's
it.
Why, that's do why it. I said it. I was like,
do it, you coward.
Do it.
And then, of course, the OG, the best boy.
Andrew Garfield.
He is best boy, but the OG.
Our friendly neighborhood pastor.
Oh my God.
That was hilarious.
Youth pastor, yeah.
He shows up and he stops him. And I'm like, you know you wanted to kill him too, Toby. Come on. Come on. Just let him have this. Just let me have this. And then he gets stabbed for his trouble.
Dude, yeah. I literally gasped.
This is going to sound really fucked up, but in a way, for like the plot, I would have loved it if they actually killed him there. And then despite that, Tom still saves him.
The thick plottins.
I guess. I mean,
But at the same time, I'm kind of glad they didn't kill him because I was like, oh no.
But I enjoyed the entrances of the Spider-Man, like how they were introduced.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That was the best. I love that.
The reception they got in the theater was insane.
Yeah.
Here's all I heard when I saw Andrew Garfield show up. I didn't even need him to take off the mask. As soon as I saw the mask, I was like, the prodigal son has returned.
So when we were there, when we were watching, everyone except for Sam, Andrew Garfield came in. We were like, whoa. But then I was like, okay, we for Tobey Maguire, I started to clap. Mm-hmm. And then everyone else started clapping. Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's like, he needs that standing ovation. He's freaking Tobey Maguire Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. And like seeing them together, it makes you realize how similar but how truly different they are.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys. God. Like Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, I suddenly remember we were watching clips together the other day and he was fucking corny.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
He was a dork.
That whole series was just campy. For sure. Once again, impressive. Really? That would not really.
The worst one for me, even to like remembering it back in the day, was who are you?
You know who I am.
That was
your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Like, but it was just you didn't see his mouth move, so it's just like, and then also the way he said both lines, just one spectrum. To another.
But like, even though like Spider-Man's the one with the most quips, but Peter's quotes in Spider-Man 3, I will never forget.
I'm gonna put some dirt in your eye.
I'm gonna put some dirt in your eye. Look at little Goblin Jr. You're gonna cry. You'll get your pay once you fix this damn door.
Dude, that writing was spectacular.
The interaction between the three Spider-Men, though.
Yeah.
That was great. I loved it so much.
I'm lame. No.
Oh, my God.
You're amazing.
The amazing Spider-Man.
You know what gets me every time? The bar scene where he plays piano. And just, for me, I'm like, does the symbiote give you powers to be able to
play piano?
Play the instrument now? Because I don't remember him ever playing piano. And then suddenly to make Mary Jane jealous, he's just pulling out the blues. And I'm like, and he starts dancing too.
To be fair, the Gwen Stacy of that universe, so much hotter than Mary Jane Watson. So much hotter. So much hotter.
Ooh, I don't know if I can agree with that.
I don't care if you agree with it.
Very attractive.
No.
I think she's very attractive.
In the first movie, yes. By movie 2, she went downhill, and then by movie 3, she was on her last legs.
Fair enough. I would say, I can't, because she's like technically a high schooler.
No, she was
like Spider-Man in the Tobey Maguire universe. No, she's like a full-blown adult.
Oh, okay. In that
they play high schoolers in the first movie, but they're actually in their 20s.
Oh, yeah. She looked a lot better.
Seniors, right?
They were playing seniors in high school, but they were like in their mid-20s.
She definitely looked a lot better in the first movie, for sure.
Yeah.
She should have kept the red hair.
So going back to the actual movie, what I liked was that it was half and half. Mm-hmm. It was, you saw a lot of the other Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that's something they did pretty well. They balanced out the Tom Holland and the other Spider-Man's screen time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Great.
It was half and half. Half Tom Holland's movie and half Spider-Man movie.
And they didn't just add them in just for like, well, they did add it for fan service, but they actually gave them something to do.
Yeah.
I was so happy about that.
You're right. They didn't just put them in just for fan service. They actually gave them a lot of screen time.
Mm-hmm. I was so happy about that. And despite everything that we love about this movie, about the nostalgia and everything, I truly believe that Tom Holland was the heart of this movie.
What I think this movie essentially was, it was Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire essentially passing the proverbial torch off to Tom Holland. Like, yes, it was implied, obviously, given the fact that he has his own trilogy now. But in this movie, it was really them, you know, more or less giving their blessing. Like, you are the new Spider-Man. Like you are the hope for future Spider-Man. That's how I saw it. Hmm. But one of the things that I really loved was they gave Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man his redemption story.
Yeah. Oh, Andrew.
To finally, you know, just walk away from the shadow of Gwen Stacy.
He saved Michelle Jones.
Yes, he did.
I always like to disagree with you. I know you, but no, the way I saw it, we'll go over that. This was a great introduction to "With great power comes great responsibility." Mm-hmm. That's probably what I think the theme of the second half of the movie was.
It's what
not,
we do.
If not, no, actually, no, the whole movie, mm-hmm. because he's in the very beginning. Aunt May is telling him to, you know, help these lost villains, and he's like, "It's not my problem."
oh yeah, that's true.
And he's like, "We'll just send them where they came from, and this and that." And then when he finds out that they all never meet their end, you know, he decides, "Okay, you know, maybe it is time to help." And then when, you know, all that happened, and spoiler alert, after his battle with the Green Goblin,
Aunt May dies. Yeah.
By the way, the way she got hit with the glider, if she was going to survive, I would have called bullshit. You saw her guy. Did you see her get hit by the... Yeah.
So was that what killed her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It essentially snapped her spine.
Oh, yeah, which I was surprised she wasn't cut in half anyways.
Oh, okay. I thought they were going to go that way too.
Honestly, I thought the explosion was what killed her.
No.
It may have helped.
No. It may have helped, yeah. But just hearing that, and then also when the Spider-Man come to console him.
Yeah.
You know, they talk about what their uncles said, and he's like, wait. How do you know what my aunt said? Mm-hmm. At that moment, you just realize that's what really connects all the Spider-Men together. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No matter what, is the fact that someone dies, and, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. Mm-hmm. Now, that whole scene, where he almost kills the Green Goblin, when Tobey Maguire comes and stops him, I kind of saw it as like Spider-Man Prime kind of teaching different universe Spider-Man kind of like a lesson, in that sense, with them looking at each other.
Yeah.
You know, because he's there, he's already been through everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, just him standing there, not saying don't do it, but just giving him a chance to think, mm-hmm. as well as just kind of soak in what he's doing, mm-hmm. was kind of ingenious. And then he gets stabbed, obviously, and they make a joke about it. I thought he was gonna die. I was like, no.
I literally gasped.
You know that the whole Spider-Man fan base would have rioted.
Oh yeah.
Had they killed him off right then and there.
I thought it would have been great, but then they pulled which was great. One of his powers is actually like
accelerated healing.
Yeah, accelerated healing. They're like, "Oh, are you okay?" "No, I've been stabbed plenty of times." I'm like,
you're in a lot of pain, aren't you? Yep.
My back.
But
I love the references too. Go ahead.
But that scene, I think, showed that Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man, those movies, bottom line, he's the standard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He is the most mature of all the Spider-Men.
You know,
see.
And it was great to see that interaction between the two. There was no words. It was just looks and stares, but it was great.
I know. I agree. But for those who have not played the PlayStation 4 exclusive game, there was a reference to it at the very end of the movie when everything is said and done. Aunt May's tombstone is exactly how it is with the PS4 game ending, where it says, When you help someone, you help everyone, or something along those lines.
Wow, yeah. I actually didn't know that.
Very communist. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. But she wasn't a commie.
But let me tell you, I think
she may be
the
red.
Greatest references are the references they made to the original Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. The
2004 yes. Spider-Man 2.
Oh. Yes. The like, for instance, I don't know if you guys remember, but remember when Doc Ock like came and pretended like he was with the side of the villains, mm-hmm. but because he had the chip, he was in control. He wasn't. Mm-hmm. He was able to help him out, and then they both had like a brief conversation of like, Peter, you're grown up,
mm-hmm.
right? And then when Doc Ock asked him how you've been doing. And Peter Parker
doing
says,
better.
Just trying to do better.
Yeah.
Do you know that's a reference?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in when he first meets Doc Ock, Peter Parker, not Spider-Man,
mm-hmm.
What happened was, I think it was like for an internship opportunity.
No, he was meeting him as
or a photographer?
No, he was meeting him because he was a fan of Otto Octavius's work. And because he was friends with Harry Osborn, who was technically his boss, mm-hmm. he arranged the visit. And Otto knew about him because he was a student of Kurt Connors.
Yes. Oh, no. So the whole point was so that he was doing a paper on Otto Octavius. That's why he went to visit.
Yeah, that's also true. But Harry's the reason why it was possible.
Yeah.
But yeah. So.
And remember when he says, like, Kurt Connors told me that you're lazy.
He said,
you're brilliant, but lazy. And
trying to do
Peter
better.
Peter Parker said, like, I'm
trying to do better.
Trying to do better.
Oh, my God. I didn't know. Oh, I like that.
I like that the lizard was teased in the Sam Raimi universe, but they never ended up doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Because Kurt Connors is lizard.
Yeah.
So I wonder if Tobey Maguire's willing to do in a Spider-Man movie. That Kirk Connors.
Oh, that also reminds me.
Who's his first? Do we know who was the first villain for the Spider-Man animated series?
Well, it wasn't Green Goblin, was it?
No.
If I had to guess, it would be Kingpin. But even then, I don't think that's right.
Was it Rhino?
I have no clue.
It would have had to be one of the lower level villains.
Like
I don't
the Rhino.
The Rhino or Shocker,
or even was it the Scorpion?
I would say I'm thinking Scorpion, but I don't.
No, Scorpion was specific.
It was J. Jonah Jameson,
probably.
Right. Or but, I mean, I'll look it up. Even the Vulture is technically not like the highest tier villain for Spider-Man.
Yeah, but he's older. Yeah. That's the thing. Because Scorpion was created specifically to kill Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So it can't be him. Kraven the Hunter didn't show up for a while.
Yeah.
It's hard to say.
Wasn't Black Cat either.
No.
Which he was also teased in Amazing Spider-Man 2, I think.
Was she?
Yeah.
Felicia. Oh, yeah, she was because she was Felicia Hardy. But she wasn't. She wasn't because, yes, Felicia Hardy was there, but it wasn't the same thing. But what was I going to say? The best part, one of the best outcomes that I think came as a result of this movie was that it's essentially common knowledge now that Andrew Garfield is in talks with Sony to create the final movie in his trilogy for The Amazing Spider-Man.
I wanted to happen.
I'm all for it.
And
I'm
all for it. When I heard that, all I could think of was that scene where, from Endgame, where Thanos looks at Nebula and he's like, perhaps I treated you too harshly. And instead of his face, it's all the MCU fans who are like, we hate Andrew Garfield, Spider-Man.
The first villain for the cartoon was Lizard.
It was.
It was.
Hmm.
I mean, once again, he's one of the lower tier.
Yeah, I know, but villains. Still.
Yeah, it was the Lizard. Wow.
That's pretty awesome. But I like the way that Lizard looked. Mm-hmm. And not the one from...
Oh, with his lab coat and everything?
I'm guessing, like, okay, so the features of the Lizard, right, from The Amazing Spider-Man,
mm-hmm.
is a little bit more human. It's not... Doesn't have that lizard face. Oh, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing.
He looks like a cross between a dinosaur and a human, as opposed to where he should look like a lizard with legs.
He reminds me of that stupid dinosaur meme. Like, yay.
I don't know if you guys saw the reference to the meme of multiple Spider-Men pointing at each other.
Yeah, it was really brief.
It was very brief, but it was when all Peter 1 through 3 were in the lab. Mm-hmm. And somebody would say, "Hey, Peter Parker," right? And they all looked, was like, "Oh, yeah." I was like, "Peter." I was like, "Yes." It's like, "No, Peter Parker." I was like, "Which one?" And they both kind of, all three of them pointed at each other briefly. Oh,
this is the meme. This is the meme.
Oh, that one. Anyways.
Wait, hold on. Oh,
God. What's the playlist? The most important videos?
It's called Yee Singing Dinosaur Meme.
No, but it's part of a playlist called The Most Important Videos.
Oh, okay.
I will say, also another another reference I liked was when The Amazing Spider-Man saved Michelle Jones.
Yeah. Like, it was just a callback to his greatest regret.
That was his regret story.
Yeah.
Like, after that, he could finally move on.
Yeah. I will say this. I know a lot of people actually hated on Amazing Spider-Man. He wasn't my favorite. I still liked it, but he wasn't my favorite.
The best Spider-Man will always be Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man. I've spoken.
I agree.
One of the few times where I agree. And I do want to say that's actually one of the reasons why there's even talks about giving him a third Spider-Man movie.
He definitely deserves
it. His acting in this Spider-Man movie was by far one of the better actors. He was one of the better actors. I mean, he
was phenomenal.
He did well with everyone on screen and just, you know, blew everyone away.
Yeah.
Oh, and then also funny reference too. My back. Yeah. I don't know if you guys remember. Back.
Yeah.
But when Peter 1, Tobey Maguire, he's Peter 1.
Yes.
When Tobey Maguire was like got his suit on, getting ready, he was like talking about how like he needed to like stretch out his back
because it was
stiff and everything.
And he's bending over, he's like, "Oh, my back."
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know or are too young to know, in the 2004 one, there was a brief period of time in that movie where he essentially gave up his powers, and he wanted them back, and he thought the necessary step to take was to jump from building to building. You know, somebody who sees that would think, why don't I start off with a building that I actually have a chance of clearing when I jump? No, he does this with, you know, I would say about three car lengths away. And right as he jumps, he starts screaming at the top of his lungs, "I'm back! I'm back!" And about halfway through, gravity takes hold. Because he doesn't have the strength to propel himself all the way through. And he starts falling quite quickly. And if it wasn't for the clotheslines there, barely slowed down his descent to hell, he would have died. And instead, what happens?
It's a car.
One of the funniest scenes of any Spider-Man, where he catches the last clothesline as it breaks, it slams him against the wall, it flips him upside down, it catches him by the leg, he falls onto one car, and that is somehow he's propelled onto his back, onto the other car, then he falls face first. And as he's getting up, he's trying to straighten up. He's like, "Oh, my back. Oh, my back."
One of my favorite scenes the funniest scenes for me in the movie was when Ned goes over to Peter 1. He says, "Do you have a best friend?" Oh, my God.
I really think they're setting him up to be a villain now.
Oh, my God.
I don't want that.
I know, but...
And he just tells him what happens, and he's like, "It was kind of sad." And then like, Andrew's, like, over to him, "Dude." And then, like, Tom is... Peter 3 is asking him to, like, do something on the computer. He goes over to the computer, and he's just kind of, like, looking at him. And he just walks away.
I love their little dialogue. "I want to promise you that I'll never be a villain.
I'll never betray you.
I was just like, okay.
You know what? Here's how I think Ned might become a villain. He's going to actually start going out with MJ from the MCU. Oh. And then she's going to meet Peter. And Ned's not going to be able to handle it.
So it's basically what happened between Harry and Peter.
Yeah.
But only the Rhino. But Ned doesn't know Peter at this point. Ned doesn't know Peter anymore.
Oh, that's true.
So it'd be like, oh, who's this new guy? As opposed to, oh, this is my best friend for like a long time.
Exactly.
So then he'll like remember, like, I don't know, maybe Doctor Strange is just some magic. It's like, oh wait, you know my best friend for like years.
Well, no, not even Doctor Strange is gonna remember. Oh no, wait, he will because he cast the spell.
No, he himself will also forget.
No, because he casted the spell already once in the past, and he still remembers what happened, but then, nobody else does.
Then that's a
continuity error, maybe.
Yeah, because he says, you know, everyone. if you forget Peter Parker, if you do that, then no one will remember you as Spider-Man.
Yeah,
yeah, but what?
And then he's like, it was great to, you know, meet you, and considering that.
Oh, that he's not gonna.
Yeah, he's not gonna remember either.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is
not as Spider-Man. He's not gonna remember him as Peter.
Yeah, he's not gonna remember him as Peter.
But what I'm saying is, like, Peter Parker still remembers Doctor Strange, so he can go to Doctor Strange and say, "Hey, you don't know me, but I have a problem, and I need it solved, or whatever." And then he could ask Doctor Strange to help regain memories back to Ned or to MJ. That's what I meant.
Because that worked great the first time he asked.
Listen, man.
You know, I think memory retrieval will be easier than trying to erase the memories of everybody in the fucking universe.
Yeah.
Because that's essentially what that spell was doing.
So, we've been talking about, like, what we liked about the movie. Do you want to go ahead and move on to what we didn't like?
Yes.
I have nothing to say. I have nothing to say. Well,
as long as you called and made sure, you know, and if they still said no, I can call.
I'm gonna step away for this segment because I have nothing bad to say. This movie was perfect.
I will start the segment off by saying something, like I was about to say, but we weren't here yet, so I'll say it now. I liked Electro. He was cool. You know, nothing wrong with Electro, but man, I don't like woke writing. I really don't.
Okay.
I'm gonna go on a limb and say it was actually kind of racist.
I understand what you mean.
Because for those of you who don't know, or those of you who need a reminder, he's like, you know, with you helping people out and all that, I thought you would have been black. Insinuating that white people don't help people out.
I actually read between the lines a little bit. I'm sorry, continue.
But no, but like, I'm just like, look, that could have been worded in a lot more tactful and tasteful manner.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have to bring race into this. You really didn't.
Okay.
You know? And, I understand that was probably like, oh, we need to find a way to mention a black Spider-Man. You know, it's like, I'm sure there could have been another way to do it. There should have been.
Well, then how would you have done that interaction?
That's a good question, but I don't think that was the right way to do it.
Because honestly, I didn't see anything wrong with the interaction. Because he was just, you know, are you good? This and that. Oh, you're. You're kind of young, yeah. I honestly thought you'd be black. I was like, oh well, I'm sorry.
He said, oh, you're with you helping all these people. I thought you would have been black. Continuing that you had to be black to be helping people.
Oh no. I actually remember the entire dialogue. I didn't think it was that bad. He just said, oh, I noticed that you were helping a lot of people in Queens. So considering that there are a lot of black people in Queens, that you thought he would have been black.
That's actually not the case.
Look at the bright side. Don't look at the negatives, John.
Well, the way I saw it, I just saw it as comedy. I didn't.
Yeah, me too.
I thought of it as a reference to Miles Morales.
Yeah.
So did I.
Honest.
Yeah, so did I.
Like, he just picked out the location, and it was a reference to Miles Morales. That's all I really saw it. But I understand what you mean. And to be honest, Disney tends to, like, gravitate towards this kind of writing sometimes. So. Do you remember that scene in Endgame where it was like all the women are like helping out Spider-Man? I will be honest, that scene was very contrived.
What does that mean? There's Wait, a more.
What does that mean?
It's like it was forced. Like, yeah.
Anyways, going back to the movie.
Okay, back to the movie. Okay, anyways.
That was back to the movie.
Oh, also another thing I didn't like, and this is a lot more petty than the other one. So memes are great. And I don't know why I did not like that Willem Dafoe was like, you know, I'm something of a scientist myself. Like, it didn't fit to me. Like, it stuck out like a sore thumb.
I personally love that scene, but I understand what you mean.
I understand that. I'm not going to lie. For those of you who went to the movies, I was slightly off-putting.
Like
slight enough where it's noticeable.
Like, for those of you who went to the movies with me, you guys heard me say, did they really put that in the movie? Yeah, sure. Did they really put that in the movie?
For me, because like I told you, his character, it seemed like almost he kind of had dementia, like some sort of mental illness.
Yeah.
So he wasn't all there.
Yeah.
So to me, when he's like, you know, I'm something of a scientist, I'm like, okay. I didn't see it as like a reference to
the meme.
Yeah, to the meme, because I've never seen that meme really played, overplayed. It used
to be really popular. Not anymore, but it used to be.
Since he was just, to me, his character was so fragmented.
Yeah,
I was like, okay, that makes.
But it's a petty complaint, because like you only have that complaint if you knew the meme. So for your average moviegoer and even your average fan, it wouldn't be the biggest deal. But I also didn't like that other.
I'm not an average fan.
I'm bringing up petty reasons, because literally the movie was that good. Mm-hmm. That literally what we don't like about the movie is just gonna make
no.
It's gonna emphasize the fact that the movie is really that good.
Now let's get to the
also Andrew Garfield cried too
bread
much.
And butter. Or, he was overly. Like,
or did you? Or
he's the guy in the group that's always the downer.
Well, the thing, but I didn't like that about how they wrote him, because like it was disproportionate. Like, I think it would have been cool to see Tobey Maguire be a little emotional here and there. I mean, Tom Holland was emotional too, but I guess people do remember Andrew Garfield Spider-Man because he was kind of he cried a lot even in his own movies. Nothing wrong with that.
I blame the writing, but no. Even toward the end of the movie, even when he came back,
I'm kind
of
lame.
Yeah, I was like, and Tobey Maguire's like, hey, don't do that.
You're amazing.
I was like, yeah. But honestly, it just showed that Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man kind of had his life together. You know, he's been through it all, and he's, even with his relationship with MJ, he's like, we're making it work.
Yeah,
you know, insinuating that they're trying to make it work. It's not perfect, but they're getting over the past things that have happened, the things that have happened in the past. Whereas Andrew Garfield, when we left him, I mean, yeah, he was coming back, but he was still kind of not all right with how Gwen died. He wasn't over it. And he even talked about that, which made sense. I was like, oh, you know, okay. But, you know, that raised questions too. Like, how did he live life for those next, let's say, years? Because he does obviously look older.
Another complaint I had about the movie, it's a really small one, and I think you guys might disagree with me.
They're all going to be small.
But, like, I feel like they were struggling to give Doctor Strange something to do in this movie. Like, what do we do with this guy, you know?
Which, real quick, something else I liked about the movie. Peter beat magic with math. That was funny.
I thought that was pretty clever. But, like, I feel like they were putting it's Dr. Strange's scenes just so they could somehow make it work.
Exactly. Yeah, they're using it as a plot device.
Explain it.
Like, the only thing he really had going for him in this movie is just to set up the plot, and that's it. Other than that, like, they just try to put him into scenes to just give him some relevancy. And then I feel like he just doesn't belong in this movie other than putting these villains in here.
I say he fit more in the first half than he did the second half.
Yeah.
And I didn't mind. Oh, okay. That issue kind of has some relevance, kind of doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because they based this story off of the Civil War storyline.
So did it play out just like this? Like with Doctor Strange?
So basically what happened was everyone found out who his identity was. Who Peter was. Obviously Spider-Man. And then what happened was since the villains now knew his identity, they started not only to go after him, but to go after his loved ones. And so in the crossfire, Aunt May actually got shot by, I think,
Bullseye?
Yeah, there we go. Kingpin hired Bullseye. He knows. Kingpin hired Bullseye to kill Aunt May, but he only grazed her. She was in the hospital. She was actually dying. And he was just very devastated. And I think at that time, I think he was already married to Mary Jane. Mm-hmm. And so what happened was Mephisto came out and basically offered him a deal. He would make everyone forget that he was Spider-Man. But at the price of him and Mary Jane never meeting. Ugh. And so he said, you know, I'll give you a moment to think about this. And there was a whole reason for why he did that, too. I forgot what it was. Mm-hmm. But Peter ended up taking the deal. Mm. And so Civil War, it everything went back to where, like, Civil War never happened either. So he worked at Daily Bugle. Him and Mary Jane never met. You know, they even said their goodbyes before, you know, he made the change. You know, them saying that they'll meet each other again, even though they won't know each other. You know, they're destined to be together and stuff like that. Mm. And that's where that whole thing came out. Doctor Strange was a part of that movie because he, in a sense, he replaced Mephisto.
Yeah.
Because that's how they were kind of going about the whole thing.
Yeah.
So, like I said, he fit more in the first half. In the second half, he was there to kind of close everything up.
Yeah.
So
he was the cleanup crew, essentially.
But I did, in terms of relevancy, you know, I didn't mind him. Mm-hmm. You know, it didn't seem like he was too forced, really, until after he came back, where he's like, I've been falling for 12 hours, which hanging. I don't know if you get the reference.
I think he was hanging for 12 hours in the Grand Canyon.
Yeah. He said he was, I heard falling. Because he said that reference, and then I thought of it referencing Loki, because he did the same thing to Loki, where, yeah, you know, he just kind of put him in a dimension where he just kept on falling and falling. And then he was like, oh, my brother, oh. And he falls. He's like, I've been falling for 30 minutes. Which I was like, oh, that's a reference to that. How about that? Except 30 minutes, 12 hours. That's obviously a much longer time. But my gripe, if anything, was just how they didn't utilize all the villains.
Yeah.
You're
right about, like, that, actually.
The ones that really didn't need to be there was the Lizard.
Sandman.
Yeah, the Sandman. And I think that's it. Because you could have done well with Electro. 2 and 2. You know? Electro, Goblin,
Doc Ock,
and the tree.
The tree!
Is that like an evil tree? Nah, dude, it's just a tree. It's just a tree. Who's the other villain for... I don't know, there's just three villains then. Because there's only five. Holy shit. There's only five villains in this movie. Goddamn, I was like, Sinister Six. I'm missing one.
Sinister Five.
Fearsome Five.
You know, in a way, I feel like I kind of wish they kind of somehow added the Vulture into this movie.
Like, have him come back?
Yeah.
Well, then he doesn't he meet the Scorpion in jail?
Oh, but they both make an appearance and they become part of this group, you know?
But then that'd be too many villains. So every seven villains.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
So if you want the Vulture, you have to get Scorpion. Mm.
Quick thing. Sorry, I just remember what scene I didn't like when Ned couldn't close the portal out of convenience.
That one.
I just remember that. I was like, wait. There has to be something I didn't like, and that was it. That was like
when he just suddenly couldn't close the portal.
Yeah. And it didn't even give us an explanation of why. Because he was able to do it before.
One of my favorite scenes, when he gets his soul kicked out of his body, and he's like, he tries to grab the box, but the body's moving on its own. Mm-hmm. He's like, how are you doing that? And then the reference to the Spidey sense, where he's in his astral form, and you see the Spidey sense.
Yeah.
He's like, that was cool, but don't ever do that again.
Ultra Instinct.
It's really that was really
ultra. It's really what his spider sense is. His ultra instinct.
Plus ultra instinct.
What?
Plus ultra instinct.
Which shows that his spider sense transcends the supernatural.
Yeah, actually, yeah, you're right about that.
Okay.
But anyways, doesn't necessarily supersede the supernatural
because. All Doctor Strange did was push his
astral form out.
Astral form, essentially his soul out of his body. From what we know, Peter's able to react. Initially, when he first discovered the ability, he was reacting without even knowing that he was reacting. It was he was essentially on board for the ride, but his body took over. This was just the ultimate expression of that, where. Because as soon as his body no longer felt in danger for whatever reason, it stopped moving. But as soon as it felt the danger again, it started moving again, which is, again, you know, the whole... That whole thing.
The tingle.
The
I love how they all just reference that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, listen to your tingle. And they're like... We got it.
We know what you're talking about, boy.
The catastrophe that was their teamwork at first.
Oh, my God. And they were like, we've never been on a team before.
He's like, I don't want to brag, but I have. I was part of the Avengers. That's great.
What is that? Is that a rock band?
Are you in a band?
Are we in a band?
Peter 3, Peter 2, listen to Peter 1.
Did anyone get the band reference either?
No.
Spider-Gwen's part of a band in her universe.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
But I wonder if they're called the Avengers.
No, they're called something else. I don't know. But he was like, oh, you're in a band. I was like, what? No.
Oh, did you?
Oh, let's talk about the fact that now this opens up the multiverse.
Okay, yeah.
Spider-Man!
That other Spider-Man could be canon now.
No, the other Spider-Man are canon.
Oh, they are.
Well, okay, I have something to say about that.
He has something to say about
that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Two Spider-Men are canon.
No. Yes, I'm not saying that they're not canon. They are. But what I'm saying, because people are like, oh, all Spider-Men are canon. Until they show up in the MCU, or until they show up in, like, until it can be proven that they're connected, they're not, for example... Spider-Man, right? The Japanese Spider-Man?
Spider-Man.
Yeah, he's not canon until he shows up, right? Spider-Gwen, not canon until she shows up. So all these different Spider-People that did not show up in the movie are on paper canon, but not functionally canon.
Don't deny me the Spider-Zord.
I'm going to deny you all the Spider-Zords.
The Emissary of Hell. Spider-Man!
Dude, I need to get that Funko.
The here. Best friend of children, Spider-Man!
That said, I would love to see a live action like Miles Morales.
Apparently the end to that,
maybe
that
series Smith? Is that I'm kidding.
Him and a child just go off in the distance just leave society.
I remember that.
I can smell Stefan's bananas from here.
The implication of that
oh, they're ooh, gotta throw those out.
Is horrifying.
But you know, I can argue, you know, we can argue in that whole, like, we can argue about that. Just like we can argue the shows are canon from the Netflix series. But this shows the potential of the multiverse, how these Spider-Men are canon, plus if they really wanted to, you know, they could make other things canon.
Yeah.
Like CW, mm-hmm. When they were doing Flashpoint.
They saw the movie Flash.
not only the movie Flash, but Smallville's Superman.
Tom Welling's?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Was in it. And then there was one other person. Oh. But that meant that that Superman was canon.
Yeah. The Superman from
Smallville.
No, not just him, but the one.
Oh, the movie Superman too.
Yeah.
Oh, Christopher Reeve.
Yeah.
Did he actually show?
Not Christopher Reeve.
Oh, Henry Cavill.
No. Adam. The Adam.
Oh, Oh, yeah, because he plays Superman, huh? Yeah.
He still looks
good. He looks good. That Superman was also canon as well.
I like how the in the CW the Adam was kind of like Iron Man, because in the comics he's not really very Iron Man-esque, huh?
No.
But I do like that they kind of made him a little bit like Iron Man.
A little bit, but he's still a giant dork.
Yeah.
But, who else do we want to see come, like, in terms of other people?
Venom.
Miguel Morales.
Oh, Miles.
Miles Morales.
Oh, yeah. Did you mean Miguel O'Hara?
No.
I don't know if you guys remember, but he's mentioned like twice in the MCU already.
Miles?
Yeah. The first time with Jamie Foxx, and then there was a time prior with Aaron Davis.
Second time with Jamie Foxx, first time with Aaron Davis.
Yeah, first time with Aaron Davis in Homecoming.
Oh.
He's got Aaron Davis' nephew is Miles.
Yeah.
And he mentions that he has a nephew that lives over there in Harlem.
That'll come off in a couple hours. Yo, I got a doctor's appointment. I can't just be standing here for a couple hours. Sorry. You deserve it.
I remember that. But yeah, they referenced the Miles in that movie too.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. If the Marvel shows aren't canon now, they should be.
I want to see Spider-Man Noir.
At the very least, the Netflix shows can be a separate universe.
No.
At the very least. Well, because if they aren't canon right now, then they can be a separate universe.
Because right now, the people who are canon or the people who are kind of from the shows are both Daredevil, if we count Spider-Man, and actually Kingpin in Hawkeye.
Yeah.
He came out, and it was quite a surprise. I was like, holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, good job.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is,
Endgame wasn't the end.
You can have...
And I'm happy it was the beginning.
The shows can be their own universe, but also the same actors could still be in the main universe. It's just we haven't seen those stories yet, is what I'm saying.
What I want to see is that movie team up from the animated Spider-Man show where Daredevil and Spider-Man both team up. I want to see that.
Against Kingpin, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be a cool like movie. That would be like its own movie for sure.
I'd love that so much.
Spider-Man and Daredevil, the movie. Mm. There.
I'd love it because Spider-Man would never... He's never met his match in terms of reactionary speed until Daredevil showed up.
Yeah. But is Daredevil still just a human?
For the most part, yeah. He has deadly accuracy, even greater than... No, actually Hawkeye's is greater. But he has deadly accuracy. His only actual superhuman trait other than his senses... is balance. No matter what position he lands in, he's always perfectly balanced.
Huh. And does it have something to do with his sensory ability?
With his hearing.
Yeah.
So that actually helps.
Yeah, because remember, not funny enough, this is fact, but the ears are involved in your sense of balance.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
There's fluid in your ears. Oh, yeah. So, and it tickles hairs that are within the ears, and that's what tells your body, oh, you're up straight, you're looking forward, you're perfectly balanced. And in his case, because everything is amplified to such a degree, it's very easy for him to tell when he's on or off balance.
Okay.
So when you get hit in the head, you lose balance.
Definitely. But just to wrap things up, basically, this was a great way to introduce the multiverse.
Yes.
It was referenced by the second Spider-Man movie. Yeah. Even though, like, the person was a fake about it. And then this one, like, really, like, brought the multiverse to light.
Although, if we're being honest, Loki did it first.
That's true.
Yeah. Loki did it first, but Spider-Man did it better.
Yeah.
Did it so much better.
Is Loki considered canon, though, in the MCU?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was produced by Disney.
Yeah, but that does, like you said, that doesn't mean anything if the director is like, oh, it's not canon.
No, it is canon because it's part of the MCU. It's one of the MCU shows.
Because I'm reading right here about the Marvel Netflix shows, and it says that the Netflix shows are canon.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
Oh. Where?
Comic book are the Marvel Netflix shows canon.
Yeah, that's not a reliable source.
And then it says right,
you can run but you can't hide, because Spider-Man. Because of Hawkeye
and Spider-Man, the Netflix shows are canon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Anyway.
But that was our talk for Spider-Man.
Yes.
No Way Home.
Yeah. Please leave us your comments, reviews.
Please tell us what you thought of the movie.
Tell us why you thought it was the greatest masterpiece of 2021.
Tell us why you think Sam sucks.
That's a great way to end.
You can tell me if you think I suck. I will find you and I will hurt you. No, I won't, but maybe I will.
But we could be talking about this for hours and hours. I'm not going to lie, but we got to wrap this up here. So thank you for tuning in. This is Jordan the Chemist. Follow me on Instagram, Jorah_229. That's it. And don't forget to follow Wallbreakers as well. Has their link tree and all that fun stuff. That's it.
I'm Flamboyant. I'm Flute Man. Subscribe to Flute Man on YouTube. Follow Cali Flute Man on Instagram and TikTok. And follow Wall 5 Breakers, please. We desperately need the internet clout.
This is Theo Sam. Follow me at TheoSam619 on Insta and TikTok, and Gila Commando on Twitch, and follow Wildfire Breakers.
This is Stefan Skins. You can follow me at STEP.RORO on Instagram. You can also follow Wall Breakers at Wall5 Breakers.
This is Give the Horn. I was looking up some facts. The actor for Kingpin says it is.
We're done. are done.
Let me finish. This is part of my thing. Yeah. But the Daredevil actors doesn't know if they are or not. So it's still up in the air. But yeah, this is Give the Horn. You can follow me at GKT Music on Instagram. And yeah, follow Wildfire Breakers.
And thank you for tuning in.
All right. And clap check.